In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate this morning on verses 5b through 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's that second lesson on the back cover of your worship folder. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's model son, dear fellow believers, our journey to our community as good stewards takes us today to Thessalonica, in Macedonia, and Paul's first missionary journey, and back before that, quite a few centuries. Far to the south, and across the Mediterranean Sea, to the land of Egypt, where Ramesses II was the new pharaoh. Ramesses, the new pharaoh, had it in mind that he would remove all the monuments of former pharaohs, and not so much remove them, but make them his own. Imagine what a great name he could make for himself if Ramesses II took everybody else's monuments and put his name on them. So he got his stone carvers to work, and they had a relatively easy job. You and I will have to get very small, like Egyptian ants. We're down here very small, and we're looking at the surface of what's called a cartouche, a picture with letters and names of pharaohs carved, but not in, basically carved on top. Everybody else had embossed the letters and the carvings, so they raised up those letters. Like Braille would be, if you feel Braille, you're feeling raised dots. They had raised up all the letters. Ramesses II, he said, stone carvers, go to work and carve all that off. Then you have a flat relief. You take Ramesses' name and you carve it in. Because when you carve my name in, I will have an everlasting name, everlasting glory as the Pharaoh. All he had to do was cut off the old and carve in the new. In a very real way, that's what we're talking about today. But not these pharaohs of Egypt who all claim to be God. I'm proclaiming to you the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has serious work to do in our hearts too. Carving off the old, carving in the new, to make you and me the kind of models that we see here in Thessalonica, these patterns of faith in this model congregation in Thessalonica, so that we can be good stewards in our community. Model believers. Be model believers. And see how it first all begins there for us, as it began for the Thessalonians, when you first hear the word and you welcome the message. God had some serious work to do on those hearts then and our hearts now. To carve off what's raised up in pride. Can you think of a better example than that hardcore Jewish rabbi named Saul of Tarsus? How proud of himself he was. All that great learning that he had gotten from Gamaliel back in Jerusalem and all the other traditions of the elders in the Talmud. And he was absolutely convinced that Moses was the greatest prophet. And this Jesus from Nazareth, who claimed to be God's son and was crucified, and then his followers said he was raised from the dead. No way was Saul going to let that stand. Saul of Tarsus was so proud of himself and so convinced he was right that he persecuted the followers of Jesus and the way to their death. Men and women in chains, killed because of him and him consenting to the death of the first martyr, Stephen. God had some serious work to do with him. And he started by knocking Saul of Tarsus flat on his face on the road to Damascus and blind. And then forgiving all his sins in baptism. And then calling him, of all things, to be the missionary to us Gentiles. Oh, behold the mercy of God. That chisel, the law of God, is good and wise. What's it take in your heart? A chisel or a bulldozer? What is it that makes you really proud of yourself as God has to go to work and level off the old? Is it your intellect? Your talent? Your hard work, your investments? Is it the life you've lived, something that you've done that you think ought to get you in good with God? Is it your position in the church? You think maybe as a pastor or a teacher or a worker in the congregation, somehow that raises you to a closer place with God? What will it take to level off that pride for us? And will we be ready when the last day comes? Will God get his work done in time? Will we be ready and prepared for the coming wrath? This is why Saul of Tarsus, when he was sent out as Paul the missionary to the Gentiles, was so enamored, so impressed with God's grace for the rest of his life. He was so amazed that God would have such patience with him, a violent persecutor of Christians, that he would catch him on the road of Damascus to a foreign city ready to imprison Christians and level him and then forgive him and by his grace send him to do work for the Lord. You see, what kind of model he was when he came to the Thessalonians and preached to them God's grace and mercy. They were impressed too. This man who formerly had persecuted Christians came to them under great difficulty. And he says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You know what happened to us before. God didn't just level those raised up images. He carved in his image in Paul, impressing on Paul the image of Christ through difficulties in Philippi, where they were arrested and beaten for their faith and thrown in jail even though they were Roman citizens. Finally had to leave the city after they were freed. When they come to Thessalonica, more persecution by the hardcore Jews that could not accept Jesus as their Messiah. This violence against them that made them flee at night on to Berea, where more violence from the same Jewish people, Paul's fellow Jews, followed them there and sent them packing again. The Thessalonians watched his patience, his willingness to work with his own hands, his eagerness to serve in order to bring them the gospel. You know what kind of people we were among you, he says. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. You saw how we kept on joyful in the Lord to proclaim this good news of sins forgiven. And you did the same thing because you suffered in Thessalonica as the Lord Christ impressed on you that image. You became models. That means impressed images, not embossed images, but dug in and carved in images. You became models to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. What beautiful models, images, impressions that they could give to others about the Christ. We've seen a few of those ourselves. If you read the August issue of Forward in Christ, there was an impression here that I thought was worth reviewing and sharing with you again today. His name is Don. One of the pastors, Jonathan Scharf, wrote about Don, a southern gentleman with a small business and not at all known for being outgoing. Apparently a fairly quiet individual. Not on any church boards, not to an elected position in the church, and yet his personal connection, the impression he left on his community, was unavoidable. This is a long list. I've had the privilege, Pastor Scharf says, of talking about God's grace in Jesus because of this man's personal connections and the impression he left on his community, his best friend and his family. I got to witness to his doctor and his doctor's wife, three current employees and their families, a former employee and her family, her tennis coach, her mom, her in-laws, a neighbor, and even a lady who was getting her nails done next to her daughter. Not to mention all the countless customers, the extended family. 10 of his connections came to the pastor's adult instruction class, and at least a dozen others, because of this quiet man Don and his impression on his community, at least a dozen others heard a clear presentation of law and gospel that they otherwise would not have heard. See the impression? It's true here too. You start multiplying how many people we together know out there in the community that you know that none of the rest of us will meet. And your pastor won't meet them either. Unless you look upon these opportunities as, how can I get the gospel, this good news of my sins forgiven, to them? How can I impress it on them in the way I treat them and the way I love them? And how can I then invite them and share them? Share with them the grace of God. In Don's case, his pastor says there were Christmas parties that provided classic opportunities to witness to these people the love of Christ, because who would go to a Christmas party and think, well, today I'm going to go and I'm going to talk about spiritual things. I'm going to talk about the Bible at this Christmas party. Or come to your house and say, I really want you to talk to me about spiritual things. Because people don't usually do that. But when they engage you in conversation in a unique and more public area, they're often more open with questions than they otherwise would be. This happens to me if I'm in Home Depot during a weekday and someone will ask me if I'm a contractor. And then I say, no, I'm a pastor. Sometimes I'm dressed in my work clothes, maybe, but no, I'm a pastor. And then they start opening up with questions there because nobody else is around. One time in Vadnais Heights, it was that lady who was sitting on her step when I came up the first time doing the survey, and she shouted to me across the parking lot, okay, what are you selling? And I just threw it right back at her. I said, I'm not selling it, I'm giving it away. What do you got, money? No, it's better than that. Then she really was listening. And then I could tell her. Came back weeks later on a super hot day. Well, it was 80 degrees and very humid, I remember. Because I remember walking to their house, and they had some neighbors over. They invited me in and gave me a can of Pepsi. Sat me down, and these two couples started asking all these very intimate questions. Because now they had a pastor in the living room that they could ask about marriage questions and all these things, and gave me another can of Pepsi on the way out. And that's when I realized how hot I was and how I was struggling just to keep at it on that very hot day. But there was the question. There was the opportunity. And there are people that you know that I will never meet because I don't get out like I used to. Those opportunities for stranger evangelism just aren't there with the other duties to do. But you know people who need to hear about God's love and invitations that build bridges and help us to be model Christians because we first of all welcome the message ourselves and then we want to share it with everyone else. This is an impression that cannot be quickly carved away. On my heart, imprint thine image. Blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures have no power thee to efface. This the superscription be, Jesus crucified for me, is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. When you live that way and you live in that light, you've got your feet solidly on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, and all the storms and the anxiety of politics and stock markets cannot shake you and blow you off that foundation because that house will stand. It's built on Christ and the Word of God and the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and people see that. And more importantly, they feel it. Because it's that love of Christ that more than anything impresses them as we serve God, waiting, and watching for His Son. The Lord's message rang out from you Thessalonians, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, that's all over Greece. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't have to mention it, because everybody's heard about it. They themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. This is literally, in the Greek original, inroads. And it's not a good connotation in English when we talk about inroads into a society because it sounds like something bad made inroads into the community. But that's literally what this is here. That somehow when Paul came, there was so much love of Christ and this solid faith in the face of persecution that Christ was impressed on them and it got right to their heart. Right into their community, the heart of the community, inroads, and they received him well. Everybody knows what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. They heard. They felt it. Kind of like another great story that happened here closer to home for us. On May 25th, the Memorial Day storm rolled right past some of our neighborhoods in Lionel Lakes and clobbered Hugo. And guess what happened under God's good direction as far as where does everybody go to the Red Cross Center in Hugo? To the elementary school. And who's using that elementary school on Sundays for worship? Our fellow mission. Out of Christ Lutheran in North St. Paul, Second Sight in Hugo, at the elementary school, and Pastor Matt Hennick, called to be the evangelism pastor for that congregation on two sites, he called up the Red Cross, and he told them, we're meeting in Onika Elementary School in Hugo Red Cross Center. I just want you to know I'll be there available for counseling to anyone that needs it. So the Red Cross put him in touch with some families, including the neighbors of that boy whose house was blown into the pond and he drowned and his sister was so sick. They needed comfort. Pastor Hennick, by God's grace, had the words there for them in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, you know Psalm 46. We have this great God who is greater than all the tragedies and all the sin of our hearts. And he was able to bring them the comfort right there in Hugo because God used that difficult storm to be a blessing and make inroads into the community with the grace and mercy of God. And so Pastor Hennick writes, people have their earthly dreams shattered, their homes torn apart, and then suddenly God opens their eyes to eternal mansions, that eternal mansion waiting for them in heaven. It's amazing how God works. And that's why God's message coming to you and me, turning us away from idols, is so vital. because we're surrounded by idols. We don't see them chiseled in wood and stone the way they used to be. But there are those in America, many, many Americans, worshiping an idol called convenience that would rather abort and kill an unborn baby than to make the choice of chastity and let that baby be born into a family. That's an idol, convenience. There are politicians and businessmen worshiping the beast when they think that the government is the answer to every single problem, as if the government is your Messiah. That's worshiping the beast in Revelation. This idea that something else, especially governmental power, can somehow rid you of all your problems. What kind of idols are there in us when it's perhaps the skill of your hands, your abilities as a lawyer or a doctor, that make you worship the God of skill? What kind of God do all of us have when we think that if only we had enough money, then our problems would go away? As if money is the great God, when money can't even guard itself. Flee from idols, the Lord says. Flee away from that which cannot help, to the only one who can. Be model believers and serve God, waiting for His Son. This is the beauty of God's command to all of us in this congregation as we seek ways to be good stewards in our community. We don't want any of us, none of us, want to be known as the congregation of narrow-minded, exclusive people. That's going to happen sometimes by people's guilt, because that's shining the light of God's law on people, and like Adam and Eve, we all run for cover until God seeks us and brings us God's love in Christ and promises a Savior. It's the gospel that brings us out and gives us the forgiveness and the confidence before God to confess our sins, to admit them, and to receive God's forgiveness, and then go back and say thank you in our lives. We have to get the gospel to them. And I believe we have to work extra hard because we're convinced that God's word is right and true. And sometimes, unfortunately, because of our sin, we give an impression of arrogance and exclusiveness that we don't intend to, but we do. So how can we impress Christ on our community as God has impressed Christ on us? Is it the internet? Is it radio? Is it TV? Is it outreach events in our congregation to try to get people here to experience the love of Christ in maybe less threatening ways, like our parent love and logic classes that we had last month? How can we get Christ to the community so that we impress on them the love of God in Christ? Because you know it. And you know that great commission of our Lord, who basically says, go about your business. But in your going, don't be too busy to stop and help us show the love of Christ and disciple all those ethnic groups out there by baptizing with His word-powered water that washes sins away, and by teaching them to guard and treasure every living, loving word of God that He has taught us. Because you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, our sakes, He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be rich. Rich in Christ, you and I can afford to be models in our community, especially waiting for the Son of God from heaven, who washed our sins away and who rescues us from the coming wrath. May the Lord Jesus help us to be those kind of models and impress Him on everyone we know. Amen.